We thank you so much for joining us tonight. Welcome, Facebook friends, family, church family. We're here for Wednesday night midweek service, and so we're so glad that you're here and you joined us. 2 Corinthians 2:14 tells us, "Now thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ, making manifest the savor of his knowledge toward us in every place." Amen. So it's always good to be in Christ, and God always causes us to triumph in Christ. And so tonight we're going to be talking about blood triumph and triumphing through the blood of Jesus. And how do we live and experience this triumph by and through the blood of Jesus? So stay tuned with us and stay in the Word with us and check us out. And it's going to be great time in the Word of God together. Praise God. If you're new to us, let us know that you're watching. Let us say hi to us. Tell us where you're watching from. Matter of fact, everybody, if you would please, just tell us, hey, I'm on, I'm watching, I'm participating. Let us know. We go back and look at all the comments and see what you're all watching from, and we'd love to connect and interact with you on Facebook. And so we welcome you to come and watch with us and engage with us and send us good responses and good likes. If you're not following us already, go ahead and hit following on our Facebook page so you can get notified when we're online and live next time. So you'll get the notifications. And if while you're at it, you can go to our YouTube channel, Triumphant Word Christian Center, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. And of course, we'll put our videos up on YouTube, and you can be able to check those out as well. And you can connect with us. And so if you're visiting with us for the first time, you're rolling across and you say you want to check us out, you can email us at connect@twcc-sa.org, and of course, /give. It should be up on your screen for you to see it. And then, of course, you can text your gift to us if you want to give that way. And it's 210-941-1605, should be on the screen, and you can text your gift, put the dollar amount in the bottom, and then text it to that number, 210-941-1605. You can text us if you want to send us a prayer request or just give us a message, 210-941-3322. 210-941-3322. Praise God. Well, let's get right into the Word of God together, and we'll enjoy ourselves in the Lord. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to share and study and receive your Word. We don't receive it as a man, a mere human being, Father God, but we receive it as the Word of God, as in truth. And we thank you for the Word tonight. We thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, who will unveil and unfold and enlighten our spirit in the Word to receive more, to see clearer, to see further and better in revelation knowledge and revelation truth. We thank you that we'll never be the same after tonight, in Jesus' most precious name. And we give you all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So we're going to start in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, it says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Everybody said, the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. They did not love their lives to the death. Acts chapter 13, verse 37 through 39. I'm going to read this out of the Passion Translation. It says, but the one whom God raised from the dead, talking about Jesus, had never experienced corruption in any form. That means internal, any of his organs, any of his body, any of his spiritual life, any of his mental, emotional life. Jesus was absolutely perfect and flawless. And so he was absolutely perfect and flawless. So then listen, friends, it says in verse 38, through this Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is offered to you. That's awesome. Everyone who believes in him is set free from sin and guilt, something the law of Moses had no power to do. Now, this is very interesting because everyone who receives Jesus is set free from sin and guilt. Something following rules that like they tried to do under the law and regulations and requirements, they could not do in the natural. They had no power to deal with sin. Only thing the law would try to do is curb sin a little bit, and the best they can get was to get their sins covered and not cleansed. But we have something better in the New Testament. So this word forgiveness is interesting because it means more than just forgiveness of our sins, but it also includes deliverance, liberty, and freedom, and remission. We said remission is the cancellation of penalty and the removal and guilt and the stain of sin consciousness. The removal of guilt and the sin or stain of sin consciousness and the cancellation of our penalty. See, because of the cross and the resurrection, your sins are not just covered up, but they are wiped away and completely cleansed. You and I are not just forgiven of our sins, but there is a remission of sin. In other words, absolute remission, or as medically speaking, molecular remission. That means every cell and fiber and stain and even trace of sin has been canceled and removed. Praise God. Hallelujah. So Colossians 1:14 in the Amplified, it says it this way. In whom we have redemption because of his sacrifice, resulting in the forgiveness of our sins and the cancellation, watch this, of sin's penalty. Oh, we got to chew on that for a minute. That's awesome. That is absolutely awesome. The Passion Translation says it this way: for in the Son, all of our sins are canceled, and we have the release of redemption through his very blood. Amen. We are blood washed, and we are blood cleansed, and we are blood blessed. Can I get a hallelujah out there? Hallelujah. Now, Romans chapter 6, verse 3 through 13. I'm going to read several scriptures here. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 through 13. It says, Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? In other words, when Christ died, we died with him. That's part of the identification and the genius of God's great plan of redemption. He identified you with Christ. So he did everything he wanted to do for you and me, in essence, and then he put us in him, in Christ. So I'll say it again. Everything he wanted to do for you and me through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection and ascension, through God's great plan of redemption, he did it in Christ, and then he put you and I in Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he's asking us a question: or do you not know that as many as us were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried, listen to this, with him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in his likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man, now that's not our pop or our father or our daddy. We're not just using slang or lingo in the scriptures. Paul is not talking about his daddy. He's our old man, our old nature, our old sin nature was crucified with him, that the body of sin, that means the former you that was a slave to sin, that's what it means, might be done away with. That we should no longer be slaves of sin. Verse 7, for he who died has been freed from sin. And now if we died with Christ, We believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. Thank the Lord. For the death that he died to sin once for all. Now notice this is once for all. His one-time dying was for everybody. It was not for just himself. It was not for himself. It was once for all of us. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. Reckoning is a accounting reference. It means to count that you are dead to sin. When you get tempted, you should say, I'm dead. Hallelujah. You got to remind your body of that sometimes. You got to remind your mind of that. All right? He said, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 12, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body or lord it over your dominage, that you should obey it in its lust, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Now notice how many references it is to sin, but he's not teaching us the cause. He's talking about the cure. The cure, the remedy to the rescue from a lifestyle of sinning. Living a sin-filled or sinful, as we might say, lifestyle. And so we said this on earlier this week in Monday and Sunday, that to go deeper and further into the glory of God, there must be a further revelation and faith in the blood of Jesus. There is an eternal purpose in the heart of God to bring the church to experience and enjoy the level of victory that Christ ordained for all believers through the manifold wisdom he has revealed. See, we need to appreciate the spiritual force of freedom. We need to engage in the power source of our freedom. From man's sin and Satan's dominance, deception, which is the blood of Jesus. Everybody say the blood of Jesus. That's the source and the power source of yours and my freedom over sin and Satan. Some people say, I can't do it. I can't live it. It's too hard, you know. And we let sin and Satan lord it over us or beat us up. Well, I'm talking to you tonight about blood triumph. And we triumph because of the blood. So Satan himself is called a liar. You got to realize that. He is called the father of lies in John, the Gospel of John. And he's called a deceiver in Revelation. He deceives the whole world. So Satan himself is a liar, the father of lies, and a deceiver. He is in the deception, the distraction, and the disruption and destruction business. John 10:10, Jesus refers to us that him as the thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. So Satan's in the deception, the distraction, the disruption, and the destruction business. Satan goes about deceiving the world with pure evil deception. He tempts and troubles us with sin. The only accusations that he hurls at us before God is sin. He is our adversary, and the Bible even refers to him our adversary, the devil. That means he is one who is our foe, our opponent, one who is arrayed against us in life and in battle. He's our opponent. He's our adversary, and he's our accuser, which is our prosecutor and our persecutor. we often refer to in the legal system of our land as prosecuting attorney. Well, that's Satan's position. He's out to prosecute you, but also persecute you. He uses unwitting people and people that he's influenced to do that. So he is out to bring you the highest penalties and punishment that the law would allow. He's trying to convict you and condemn you in your sin. He's also a legalist. That's where we get the reference to legalism. He's very legalistic. So he's a technical legal person. He sees you cross the line. You step out of love. You step off into the flesh. You have a flesh out moment. You give way to temptation. And he's there. Look there. See. And he's doing it before God day and night, trying to prosecute you and persecute you. So he tries to persecute us to the fullest extent of the law and persecute us with the condemnation, guilt, shame, sorrow, and that sin brings with it. But the good news, as we read earlier, we have received forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness and repentance are legal terms. Believe it or not, they are spiritually legal terms. They are phraseologies or terms, legal technical terms in the spiritual sense that counterattack his prosecutory and persecutory actions. Repentance just literally means to put a gag order on the devil. That means he can't talk anymore. He can't accuse you anymore. Isn't that good? Praise God. Hallelujah. And so sin always itself also always deceives. It will take you further than you want to go. It will cost you more than you wanted to pay. And it will keep you longer than you wanted to stay. Sin always deceives. So we often say sin and Satan are synonymous, but there's other things with that. But he uses sin as his tool bag to get us out of place with, and out of protection with God. You got to see this. He uses temptation in our lives to sin to get us out of place and out of protection in peace with God. See, when we often say this phrase, when we sin, we let the devil get in. If you sin, it's important and it's imperative that you get back to God in a hurry. And we often say this, every step out of love, the God kind of love, the agape love, the love of God, is a step out of God and a step out of the will and plan of God for your life and could be potentially a step into sin and unrighteousness. We have to have a healthy appreciation of what Jesus' blood paid for in the context of our sins altogether of the whole world. He had to pay a great price, and the Bible says it was a precious price. It was the only price that could be paid because the wages of sin are death. See, the blood of Jesus is our only way out. Otherwise, we get caught and wedged in by these strange influences stronger than our natural ability. You are eternally helpless without divine intervention. Well, this is looking to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. It reveals to us and warns us this. Beware, brethren. He's talking about be aware of this. Lest there be any of you of an evil heart of what? Unbelief. Now, he's not talking about ignorant unbelief. He's talking about disobedient, obstinance, hard-headedness, stubbornness, rebellion type of unbelief. it conveys the idea of being unpersuadable. Sometimes we don't think sin is that bad. Oh, I can just stick my toe into sin, or I can just dabble over into sin, or I can just play with sin. You don't play with sin because sin will kill you. So we're talking about the cure to it, the cure to the sin problem that affects us and afflicts us, friends, inside and outside. He said, beware, brother, lest there be any of you through an evil heart of unbelief. We know that's disobedience. That's rebellion. That's obstinance. That's being hard-headed, stubborn, being unpersuadable of the truth of God and the ways of God and the things of God. You just don't care. You just say, well, I don't believe it's that bad to be for me to do this. No, in departing from what? Unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily. In other words, encourage. It's like I'm doing now. Encouraging, exhorting you, warning you. Say, hey, encourage other day while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened. That means cold and callous. And you don't care anymore. Hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin always deceives. See, friends, the involvement of Satan, the involvement of Satan in the corruption of man makes it humanly impossible for man to free himself. And even in our modern day legal judicial system with our police and sheriffs and all that and jails, there's no accused person who gets put in jail that posts bail for himself. You can't get in sin and get imprisoned by sin and free yourself. Every time you are caught up in sin, listen to this very carefully, you are under arrest. You are under arrest, so to speak. And you need to recognize and realize the authority to bail you out, to bail you out. Somebody said, well, somebody posted bail for them. $10,000, $50,000, whatever that bail cost is. Well, you need bail out. But you don't have the authority to bail yourself out. The blood of Jesus is that authority. Praise God. Come on, just thank God for the blood of Jesus right now. Thank him for the blood. Thank him for the blood that he bailed us out. He can bail us out. See, the blood of Jesus is our guarantee for bail. It offers us the privileges of being discharged, not only discharged, and acquitted, praise God, hallelujah, and the record of our sins being expunged. That means blotted out. There's no record of you even doing that. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Make me clean me whiter than snow. He washed me whiter than snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. It reaches to the highest mountains. It flows to the lowest valley. That blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. So it gets you out of prison. Or out of jail, it acquits you, and it's fun so you can walk in liberty, freedom, and victory through Christ all the days of your life. You don't have to look back and say, well, I wonder if anything has to be paid on that penalty. No, you got forgiveness of sins. You got complete remission, cancellation of penalty, and the removal of the guilt and the stain of sin consciousness. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, true freedom requires divine intervention. Your freedom must therefore have its roots in Christ and the things that are provided for your liberty. Then you are to be completed in him. See, people that try to be religiously correct or perform acts of work or legalistic in their service to God try to earn their freedom. try to earn their liberties and work for it. But you can't do it. It's humanly impossible. Our righteousness is not good enough in and of our own selves. We need his righteousness. And that is given to us by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. See, the man of sin, referring to Satan and eventually his Antichrist, in 2 Thessalonians 2:3, referencing that scripture, and knowing that his time is short, he has come down from on humanity with great wrath. So he's accusing the saints of God day and night. We don't realize that you got somebody up there trying to accuse you and saying, God, they do not deserve to get blessed. They do not deserve that provision of the covenant. They do not deserve that legal righteous right and privilege as a Christian. They do not do it because, look, they've sinned. Look, they're messing up. Look, they've run off the reservation. Look, they've blown it. They've missed it. And he's constantly coming at us, against us, with these accusations day and night. Well, what do we got to do? What do we have to do? Glory to God. So we must be firing back with the instrument of freedom day and night. If you hadn't got a clue yet this month, friends, Facebook family and viewers and our top fans, we ought to be slinging blood all over the place every day and in every arena of our lives. We got to use and apply and plead and proclaim and preach the blood of Jesus. It is our instrument of freedom. See, decisions is inadequate. See, making, you know, somebody says, well, I'm going to make a New Year's resolution, or I'm going to resolve I'm not going to overeat. When I get emotional or get upset, I'm not going to go to those harmful foods that I use to try to comfort me or calm me down, but they really hurt your body. And so you overeat, or gluttonous in one sense of the word. And then, or perhaps you even have bad habits or vices, you know. And there's no big or real small sin. Sin is sin. Some people have habits of dwelling in the arenas of the flesh. And some people have sins where they go get the bottle, or they go do something and they snort something or sniff something. You know, it's all sins of the flesh. So making a decision won't hold up. Neither will self-control handle Satan. I hope you're getting this tonight. Only accredited, certified weapons of divine intervention can fix him where he belongs. And what is that? The blood of Jesus is it. Would you be free of your burdens and sins? There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Hallelujah. Y'all know the song. You got to get out those old songs. Would you be free? Free. I'm talking about freedom. Would you, or even your victory win? There's wonder working power in the blood. There is power. Power, wonder working. What? Power in the blood of the Lamb. The blood of Jesus is it. The blood of Jesus is the divine provision for man's freedom, liberty, and victory from every sin and satanic dimensions of corruption. And so it is what it takes to silence the opposition. It is the ultimate for our victory. There is tangible power in the blood of Jesus. Somebody say glory to God. Now, it's also the key to our freedom from every yoke of bondage. Zechariah 9:11 says this: as for you also, because of the blood of your covenant, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. So, friends, every bondage terminates at the blood. In the book of Exodus, chapter 12, we see after the blood, Moses, they put the blood on the doorpost. It was the 10th plague, and Moses never said again, let my people go. He didn't have to. because Pharaoh was now frantically wanting them gone after the death angel came and smote the firstborn. And see, when you're saved, when you're born again, you're blood washed, and you enter into a blood covenant, and it is your stronghold. It is the Passover blood. I want you to think about that term. Passover blood that speaks Passover to every evil. You got to see this. I'm talking about blood triumph. How do you triumph today? Passover. See, no force in hell can resist the blood covenant. You will never get out of your Egypt without application of the blood of Jesus. Only the blood of Jesus is the atoning, redeeming, remitting power over sin. Listen to the 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. It says, therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, listen to this, our Passover was sacrificed for us. So we talked about it in the context of communion. The communion meal was a type of Passover, but it was highly upgraded. We weren't taking blood from animals and lambs and rams and turtle doves and all that stuff and putting it on the doorpost of our house physically. We were talking about his sacrifice. We were remembering his sacrifice, his broken body, his shed blood. And the same thing God said to the children of Israel back in Exodus, the same thing our covenant enjoins unto us today. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. The death, destruction, the disease, the devastation will pass over you. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's our Passover Lamb. Praise God. And then the precious and powerful blood of Jesus holds the key to freedom, victory, deliverance from every yoke of bondage. So let's remind ourselves, what's in the blood? What's in the blood? What's in the blood? Every time you say the blood of Jesus, by faith, with full confidence and assurance, based on revelation knowledge, you are bringing God's very life on the scene. What makes the blood of Jesus producing is the very life of God is being invoked, because the life of the flesh, according to Leviticus 17:11, is in the blood. And because his blood never loses its power, it's eternal blood, it's everlasting, life-giving blood. It never dies or diminishes or decreases in its effectiveness or its ability to produce in our lives. The blood of God, it never dies. So whatever Jesus is Lord, our Lord is, whatever he is, his blood is. Every time you invoke and plead and apply and proclaim the blood of Jesus in faith, you are bringing God on the scene, and he has been never known to fail. He is too faithful to fail. He said, my covenant, Psalms 89, will I not break nor alter the things that's gone out of my mouth. He's not changing his covenant. What he said, he'll do. What he spoke, he'll make good, because it's a blood covenant. See, every time you plead the blood with bold confidence and courageous faith, God takes over the battle. The struggle, the negative and nagging situation. And when he stretches forth his hands, and who shall turn his hand back? If God be for us, who can be against us? Nobody. No, nothing can be against God. That's the ultimate what we call trump card. We plead the blood, and that's over. Because God's taken over, and he's never lost a battle, and he's never lost a war. He's never lost a case. He's undefeatable. But that's why we have to grow in our faith in the blood and our revelation knowledge of what the blood does and will do in our lives. See, if God, all things are possible, then unto the blood of Jesus, all things are possible too. You might not even know what to say. I plead the blood. There's many, many stories I could tell, but I don't have time. We're saints of old and people who are my senior, gone home with the Lord, some of them. They use the blood. They didn't know what to do. They didn't have all the right scriptures, but they had faith in the blood. And they said, I plead the blood of Jesus. See, friends, every morning as you wake up, say, I cover myself with the blood of Jesus. Say, in the name of Jesus, and by faith in the blood of Jesus, I apply the blood of Jesus over my spirit, over my soul, my mind, will, and emotions, over my body, or over this situation. I hold the blood of Jesus over that. I sprinkle the blood, and I plead the blood over that person that's probably in your immediate family or extended family who's going through perhaps hell and high water and creating havoc in your house. You plead the blood over them. Amen. And when you do, it becomes a no trespass territory to Satan and his demon cohorts. Can somebody say amen to that? So draw a bloodline around your house. Draw a bloodline around your marriage and your children and put up a no trespassing sign and a sign that says, keep out Satan. You can put it up in the spirit realm. Amen? You got to keep it up. So when you sense the presence of sin in your life, repent quickly. And forgive others quickly by faith and receive your forgiveness and cleansing by and through the blood of Jesus. See, when the presence of sin there, you know Satan's right there. Because we said sin lets who? The devil get in. Sin lets the devil get in. And so you got to be very cognizant of the fact that the presence of sin is here. Amen. And every step into sin is a step on Satan's territory. But how do you stop him from completely destroying and devastating you? Be quick to repent. Be quick to forgive. Praise God. Number two, or if you sense the or perceive the consciousness of consequences of death, disease, division, discord, devastation, and destruction from the penalty of sin. Perhaps, for example, if you've had a relational schism with someone and you got a falling out and you're in real, what we call raw strife and discord and disharmony, you need to be pleading the blood. You can't fix that because of your age or your experience or your knowledge or your quick tongue. You can't fix it that way. You have to plead the blood. Because the penalty of sin is already at work. See, death to a relationship is divorce. It's separation. It's discord. It's it being divided. It's being in disagreement and disharmony, and it causes a fall. It causes a faltering. It causes things to fall apart. Jesus didn't die so we can live fussing and fighting all the time. You got to judge yourself, of course, and humble yourself and take communion again and say, I'm reinstating the covenant of God, the blood covenant in my life. That's one thing Abraham did that was so beautiful. When God picked him out, he refused to get in strife. He even told his little cousin, his nephew, Lot, and said, let there be no strife between your people and my people. He refused to be in strife. He had a no strife policy. Because strife is a direct manifestation of the devil. The Bible says in James that where there's envy and strife, there's confusion and every evil work. Number three, if you've been tormented or tempted by and enticed by the power of sin, then plead the and proclaim the blood of Jesus in the name of Jesus and put up a barrier and break the power of sin from further encroaching and invading your heart and mind. Because see, the devil's not a nicety. He's not a gentleman. Demons and devils are pushy. They're like a bully. And if you give them 1 inch, they'll try to take a mile. Remember, dear friends and precious saints of God, the enemy never takes a day off. Our enemy doesn't. He's always trying to make us either bad by falling into sin, or he makes us really busy and when we get eventually worried and stressed out and walk right into sin through fear. Fear is what we call by an acronym definition, false evidence appearing real. See, when you have the blood to cover you, so to speak, you are secured from the torture, the torments, and the afflictions and the horrors of Satan. You're covered. You're protected. See, the blood is the singular devastating weapon against Satan. He can't stand the blood. It drives him crazy. He doesn't have an answer to it, and never will he have an answer to the blood of Jesus. Like I said, it's the ultimate, in one sense of the word, the ultimate trump card. See, the blood of Jesus is to be applied against the wicked plans of the enemy. Now, while you're sleeping, he's trying to plot and plan against your joy, your peace, your family health, your family unity. He's trying to plot to steal, kill, and destroy you the next day because they don't have to sleep. You and I do. So while we slumbering or sleeping or napping or drifting off, he's trying to put his schemes and maneuvers. So you've got to cancel his assignments and his schemes and maneuvers against you for that day. That's part of your responsibility. And so you apply the blood against his wicked plans. Because if he's out to get you day and night, then you should be out day and night too with your armor on. The blood of Jesus. Every time you plead the blood of Jesus, you've turned the switch on in heaven. The blood of Jesus begins to speak. Passover, Passover. What the devil meant for evil can't come into your life, and so you don't have to experience that evil. It passes over you. By the blood of Jesus, every evil thing, every evil spirit, and every evil person who's enticed or influenced or used by the enemy shall pass over you. That person that was trying to hook up with you to bring you down and destroy your life and your reputation, they will pass over you or pass around you. Praise God. Somebody say glory to God. Hallelujah. And then the blood stronghold. Listen to 1 Peter 1, 24 and 25. For all flesh is grass. All the glory of man is the flower grass, and the grass withers, and the flowers thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and the word, this is the word which is the gospel, is preached unto you. Now again, Zechariah 9:11, we're at 9:11, but now it's 12. As for you also, because of the blood of your covenant, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today I declare that I will restore double to you. So we have a stronghold. Everybody say stronghold. Stronghold where? In the blood of Jesus. And against the corruption and the sin contamination that is in the world. So we often have always depended on our own strength. And there's really a lot of independent people today. That kind of society and the world culture kind of breeds us that way. And we kind of like to be self-serving and self-sufficient. And sometimes it breeds selfishness. When we depend on our own strength, we fail all the time under the heavy weight of our minds. But see, there is security in the blood of Jesus. You can't get up and assume that I've got this. I feel good, and I don't need to plead the blood of Jesus. I don't need to use the instruments for my freedom. So how often do we experience the withering of the grass and the falling away of the flowers? This is because we've turned our eyes from the strongholds, and we are living in our weak holds, not strongholds. See, the strength of a man will fail, and there are no all-season flowers, as we know if you've ever planted flowers. They don't last all year round and keep existing forever. All flowers fall away at one time or another. Isn't that right? Even so, just as the elegance, charm, and charisma of our faith cannot hold us through the challenges and crises of life, we need to take cover in the stronghold. What is that? The blood of Jesus. Because, friends, if you can be allured out of the blood shield, like the prodigal son was lured out of his father's house, over in Luke's gospel, we become a pitiful and polluted case. Through sin, the enemy either dilutes you or pollutes you. But refuse to take and leave your stronghold in and under the cover of the blood of Jesus. You and I wither and fail from our decisions and fall like flowers because we've decided to trust in the arm of our flesh, in our pride and impressiveness with our beauty, our brilliance, our broad knowledge and experience, coupled with our arrogance and stubbornness. We think that we can handle this sin or satanic attack or assault or affliction without divine intervention or God's great help. We think, I got this. I can do this on my own. But see, the blood of Jesus is our rescue and our remedy. Outside of the blood of Jesus, we are running a risky and hazardous journey. Every time you hear and sense the arrows, the fiery darts, the flaming missiles of the wicked, enter the stronghold. Declare, I take cover in and under the blood of Jesus. You can't handle that with the arm of the flesh. The blood of Jesus is your stronghold, friends. If we abide in our strongholds, we are secured by that stronghold. And lastly, I'll leave you with this thought. The blood purges. Everybody say, the blood purges. The blood of Jesus is the instrument for purging the inside of a man or woman, which is the platform for the operation of every evil. From within the heart proceeds adultery, malice, murders, blasphemies, fornications, hatred, stealing, strife, anger, and the likes. That's from Matthew 15:18-19 and Mark 7:21. But the blood of Jesus has the power to make your mind infertile to the evil thoughts, ideas, and suggestions from the enemy. Because, see, the battlefield or the battleground is the mind. And that's where the devil comes in and sows his thoughts, his ideas, and his suggestions in your mind. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:13-14, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctifying to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Friends, no technique of life can handle your conscience,
can handle the conscience.
You must keep sprinkling your heart with the blood of Jesus in order that you might be purged from every evil work. Now, purge, I think we've defined it as to clean or purify by separating and carrying away whatever is impure, foreign, or superfluous. Superfluous just means anything unnecessary, obsolete, extravagant, or wasteful. And number two, to clear from guilt and moral defilement. So we need purging. Our conscience needs purging occasionally, because we have to have a clear conscience and a conscience that's void of offense toward God and man. You've heard the phrase, let your conscience be your guide. And if you have a corrupt or contaminated conscience, it's a poor guide for you. See, man cannot get into his conscience to correct it. But God has designed and devised a means to get access to your inside, and so that your outside can be clean and clear also. Hallelujah. See, simply put, if you can't stop the bad thoughts, the wicked ideas, and the evil suggestions, if you got that haterade going on, cycling through your mind, and you're thinking about getting people back or having vengeance, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to take it out on somebody, if you cannot stop the thoughts, ideas, and suggestions, then you cannot stop the action. Because thoughts precede action. So we need to get to where those thoughts are cultivated and created and devastate the place. Then you don't have to worry about the acts anymore. Because man's defiling is a product of his thoughts. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. See, our thoughts set the pace for our pollution, dilution, and corruption, and we have no power over the onslaught of bad and evil thoughts that come in. So we need to get to what God has provided to root out and pull down wicked thoughts, evil imaginations, tempting suggestions from the enemy, and where the evils are manufactured. That's by and through the blood of Jesus. Because the blood purges. Listen to this. Hebrews chapter 10. Last verse. Verse 21 through 22. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now notice our hearts are sprinkled, what? The blood of sprinkling. From an evil what? Conscience. When you have an evil conscience, you have a diseased, defected spirit. A defective heart. You have a heart problem. See, the Word of God can wash the body, but the blood of Jesus, only the blood of Jesus, can purge your conscience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Lift your hands and thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I trust you got something out of that tonight. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus will cause us to triumph. The blood of Jesus is to be a triumphant instrument of freedom, of victory, and blessing to our lives. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. And we endeavor to grow our faith and knowledge and understanding of the blood of Jesus. Now, if you need to come back to God, I'm talking specifically to Christians who have drifted, who have been sifted, who have been sad, mad, and bad. If you want to come back to God, now's the time to apply the blood that we've been talking about to get you back on the triumphant track, to get you back on the triumph trail toward everyday victory and a lifestyle of freedom. So now just lift up your hearts and lift up your voice to the Lord in repentance And so, Lord, I repent of sin. I repent of disobedience. I repent of the rebellion. I repent of selfishness and trying to perform and do things through the energy and the arm and strength of my flesh. I've been trying to attack spiritual problems with natural human logic and human strength and effort. I've rejected divine intervention, Lord. I repent, and I'm sorry for that, Lord. I ask you to forgive me. If you haven't received Jesus for the first time, receive Jesus now and say, Lord, I believe in you. I believe that you died on the cross and shed your blood for me. I repent of sin. I renounce Satan. I receive Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. I want to be born again and blood washed, a child of God. I know you will accept me when I repent and come to you. So I receive you now as my Lord and my personal Savior. And for those Christians who've gone away and gone astray, just thank the Lord for making you free. Those evil tendencies, that evil conscience, the purging of your conscience is happening right now. Some of you are being healed in your heart. You're being healed in your emotions. You're being healed in your physical body. If you need prayer for healing, you text us, 210-941-3322, or connect at twcc-sa.org, and you tell us, we need to be healed. I need my heart healed. I need to apply the blood of Jesus. And we'll pray with you. We'll believe God for you. We'll reach out and touch you with the word of God and through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. We want everyone whole and well and have a healthy spiritually and mental heart condition. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You are triumphant through the blood. Hallelujah. Reach out and let us know how this message touched you and impacted you or blessed you. Text us back or call us back or send us an email, please, at connect@twcc-sa.org. We love you so much. Remember, you can give to us. You can give online at twcc-sa.org/give, or you can text your gift at 210-941-1605. Praise God. God bless you. We love you. Remember, you are blood washed. You are blood blessed, and be blood bold as you walk in triumph and victory every day. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. We love you so much. Bye-bye. We'll see you next time.